Hey, how's it going out there? Welcome. Have a seat. Drive. Listen. Put your headphones on. What do you ever want to do, man? My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And you're, in fact, listening to the one and only Carolyn and Joe Show! How's it going, Carolyn?
It's going well.
Nice. But is it really? Is it really going that well?
It's going good. I mean, I can't say anything that's going bad.
That is true. But we had some sad news, guys. I mean, yeah, let's be honest here. If you guys have been paying attention to our show, you know that we have a song that we end our show with that's twice now, I believe, for like the past several years. Two songs by one specific band that we're actually a huge fan of, that we found out that just broke up this, I guess this morning, in which we're recording this, and which is...
It was actually Friday.
Well, Friday, but I found out, and I found out the Saturday morning, whatever it was, which is today, which is the 23rd? Damn. So I guess it was the 22nd, the night of the 22nd. That's true, ladies and gentlemen, My Chemical Romance has broken up. And I am truthfully sad about that. I don't really care what anyone else thinks, and I never actually do, but... You know what? I actually like this band, and I don't really go out of my way to say I like anything, and I like this band a whole lot, and I'm a fan of their work, and you're going to hear their music in the background, you know, as crazy it is. And I'm going to be really sad, that I'm actually pretty sad that they're broken up. And I know it's really difficult to even have a band and actually make work that, like, you know, like, touches people or actually means something to people. And you know what? They've chose to end it. I don't know why, but I'm sad about that. What do you think, Carolyn?
Well, I feel like their reply, or not reply, but their announcement online was very blunt, clear. It was only like a paragraph long. It was really easy to read.
Yeah.
It wasn't like this long essay of why and how and when and all that. But it was basically like, we've broken up, and thanks for the memories, and thanks for sharing your time with us.
Yeah.
And it was pretty simple, but...
What else does it need to be?
I mean, it doesn't need to be anything more. Like, I know there's always going to be those curious people that are like, why? I don't really personally want to know why, but I feel like in like 10 years, it might come out that, like, what happened or something, you know? Behind the music.
What was the truth of this?
I mean, I'll always be paying attention to this band, even if, you know how bands come back?
Yeah.
They make comebacks. Like, yeah. I'll be there. Or if, like, or if maybe they never come back, and then there's news about, like, one of their independent projects. Like, I'll be there to, like, know about it, you know?
Speaking of the news, kick it.
It's the news! News music. All right. Okay, we are in March, and that means that April's coming. So this is March and April news.
And this is the last week of March, too, guys.
Oh, my gosh.
You guys. Already, we're going into the fourth month of 2013. Holy crap.
Well, first, some updates on Magic Bullet number 6. Joe and I went to DC this week a couple times, and we went around and dropped them off. You can go to magicbulletcomics.com and see all the locations and the updated news of Magic Bullet.
Definitely.
So there, you know, we're in DC, we're in Maryland, we're still trying to get out there. We'll probably be there in a couple weeks.
Help us out, guys.
there's people that are helping distributing. But we did get out, and it's basically, it is available in the DC area, so
yeah.
that is awesome. And Magic Bullet number 6 is in the Library of Congress.
Nice.
That's pretty big
Good job.
News. I think that's pretty awesome news.
It is pretty massive news, because that's a pretty important library. That's like legit. That's like the library.
That's like after we die, it will still be there.
Yeah.
And like your grandchildren can be like, what is Magic Bullet?
I didn't know
my
you were
uncle
there.
Was in this or something. And
yeah.
like, oh, that's my grandfather. You know, like people will still read about you in the future.
Because that's what Library of Congress does. You're basically documenting. Yeah, they preserve everything. So it's really cool to feel like included in that.
Yeah, and we had a tour of the Library of Congress. So that was awesome too. Should we talk about that during the My Chemical Romance show? I guess we could. But yeah, we're in the Library of Congress. So that is pretty monumental and historical. And also, we had 5,000 copies. So go out and grab a copy at all the stores listed on magicbulletcomics.com. What else? On March 30th, Joe and I will be at Asbury Park Comic-Con.
That's this weekend.
Yeah, and so will Rafe Roberts, who is in Magic Bullet.
You've heard him. He was on the show before. He's pretty awesome. Plasticform.com.
Yeah. And There'll be a whole bunch of other people there too. Like, it's a pretty massive show. We hope to see you in New Jersey, in the land of My Chemical Romance.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's perfect time in there.
And then in April, we're going to be at the DC Convention Center on April 20th and 21st for Awesome Con.
So, which is probably going to be 3 weeks away. So almost a month is that.
And they just made a new announcement of a new guest, Xander.
That's right. Buffy. Xander is going to be there. Xander is going to be there from Buffy. That's pretty awesome. That is pretty awesome. We'll keep you updated on that.
So, let's talk about My Chemical Romance. I mean,
wait, before we do that, everyone should also check out one-shots.com for my newest film, The Return, starring the burlesque superstar Dolly Holiday. Why not, guys? Go out there. I can show you that I can do this. This is what I do.
It's really awesome. I mean, it's under 5 minutes long. If you have a spare moment in your day and you want to see a tease, yeah, you want to see some awesome burlesque, one-shots.com.
One-shots.com. Thank you for that. Thank you, everybody.
So, when was your first taste of My Chemical Romance?
My first taste of My Chemical Romance literally was when I'm Not Okay broke. That I heard that song. I specifically even remember hearing that song while driving, like on Park Avenue while in college in Richmond, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's the song that I was like, okay, this one works. You know what I mean? Has that ferocity and that attack, but still has that sort of ability to connect. You know what I mean? But I didn't really take it that serious at first because, like, I still didn't really listen to the radio, and I still don't listen to the radio. Some would say I don't listen to anything or anybody. So, but that was my very first taste, and I knew that was pretty solid. That was a pretty solid track.
I remember that summer, or I guess it was around that summertime, it was like constantly on rotation on the radio. I feel like that's like their most played song. There's other songs that was most played, but that one seemed also like the most attainable of like more people would want to listen to it. It did have kind of like a poppy vibe.
Yeah.
I remember like when I first heard of My Chemical Romance, there was like this one picture, I forget what magazine it was on, but it was from that album, the Three Cheers album.
Yeah.
And I thought that they looked kind of scary, but at the same time, they were like kind of like hot, like scary hot looking.
Scary hot.
And I was like, man, they're scary. But then like I was like, oh, but they're pretty hot. So then I started listening to their music. Well, like I heard some of their music, but then I wasn't like super familiar.
Yeah.
But then I was like, I really want to buy the album. So I bought the album. And that's kind of how I discovered them.
So this next song that we're actually going to hear, I'm not like going to be, you know, but this song I usually end the show with. But I felt like this will just begin the tracks.
Start.
Yeah. So be nice. It's the beginning of the end,
it's
is
the
what
beginning
it is.
Of the end. It's a tribute
to
My Chemical Romance. I will say that this week, though, personally for me, like, was very reflective. Because I found out the week previously that a person that was really inspirational to me in life died. And I know this is going to sound really horrible, but, like, I've had family members die. And I didn't really care.
Yeah.
Like, I just, you know, I would go to their funeral and just stand there or whatever. And I'm like, you know, I'm here. I'm present for you. You know, but it's like, I never felt anything. But the person that died was actually my high school art teacher, Mr. Evelyn. We call him Dave Evelyn. And I have seen him twice since graduation of high school. So, but we did always, like, keep in touch, but I wasn't, like, best pals with him. Because it's, like, your high school teacher, you know?
Yeah.
So I wasn't, like...
It's tough, though, to keep still connected.
Yeah. But, I mean, I feel like I was still pretty connected with him, and he knew who I was. Like, he like, kept up with, like, my stuff, too. Like, I remember, like, when he first found out that I was doing comics, he was like, oh, wow, I'm teaching comics right now. And he sent me messages, you know? He'd always, like, send messages and, like, stuff like that, and, like, I did keep in touch with him, but I really, like, feel like he was one of the people that changed my life. Like, if I could only pick, like, a handful of people, really looking back, I feel like he'd be one of those handful.
Yeah.
Because, like, how many people do you really meet in life? Like, a lot, you know?
Yeah.
We meet a lot of people, and, like, I feel like he made a bigger impact on my life than most people did.
Yeah.
And so when I found out that he died, like, I cried, like, one tear. I was like, oh, Mr. Evelyn died. And... But I wasn't, like, super upset about it. I wasn't, like, distraught about it.
Yeah.
But it was more, like, you know, oh, he led a really good life, like, I hope he goes to heaven, I hope, you know, he, like, continue, and he'll, like, continue in all the people that he met. So this week was actually his funeral, it was actually Friday, the same day that My Chemical Romance broke up. And so, like, I feel like, for some reason, this is an end of an era in my life.
Yeah, it is sort of like, with all the things sort of, like, exiting, it is sort of like another door is opening up to see what else is left, or to see where else to go, in a way.
Yeah, and I commented online, it's kind of like, well, I have to blaze a new trail now.
Yeah.
Because, like My Chemical Romance and Mr. Evelyn, like, has influenced my life, but in different ways. But also, like, I still, in my own person, I lead my own life, so it's like, I gotta pave my own trail now and, like,
definitely
create stuff and, like, keep going. Because Mr. Evelyn was, like, such a great person and a great teacher, and he was, like, Teacher of the Year, like in some awards. Like, he was basically, like, one of the top teachers in America at one point.
Yeah.
And, I mean, like, I never saw anything, like, mean about him. Like, some people, like, don't have a teacher that they even look back on. Like, I feel actually bad for those people that they can't, like, look back on, like, all their years of schooling and name one teacher that they, like, really liked.
And they got no one to connect with, in a way.
Yeah. Like, I actually feel lucky that I had Mr. Evelyn, and also I probably had, like, at least 4 good teachers.
Yeah.
Maybe even more, but, like, I can, you know, I count a few other teachers in that high regard, but Mr. Evelyn was, like, the tops. And he also did art history, and he brought art history, the AP art history courses, to our school, and probably even to Fairfax County. And, but yeah, he knew his stuff. He always, like, got everyone involved. I remember he even stayed after school, like, to help me shoot slides for my college application. And I remember we stayed out there for, like, a few hours. That was, like, and then I even knew at that time that was something that he didn't have to do.
Yeah, definitely.
He went out of his way to, like, help us with anything, really. I mean, he spent so much time, extra time, and it wasn't just like, yeah, get your work done, see you later. You know, he never just tossed anybody aside.
He always gave everyone sort of that, they're just due, in a way.
Yeah, and he also recognized when you did something really good, you know? I think he's a good person, and, but it was just sad to, like, hear about him dying, and then, like, I was really glad to have seen him a couple more times after, just, you know, besides just, like, oh, graduation's over, you know, see you never.
Yeah.
Like,
because that happens, like, a whole lot.
Yeah. So, like, I, you know, it's good, and I have a picture of myself with him, so that's, like, good, you know, of the last time I saw him. And, so now I'm like, it's really good to take pictures with people, I feel like.
I think so.
It's good to have that memory, and
it's good to print them out.
And it's amazing, too, how many, like, lives people have had, or how many lives he's impacted, too. Because, like, I know at least 5 people that I actually graduated with in art that they think the same of him.
Yeah.
And they're all about Mr. Evelyn. So, and there's probably more for all the years that he taught. Like, think of how many people that even is. That's, like, thousands of students he's taught. And, like, I don't know. Just making an impact like that is pretty amazing. And at his funeral was pretty amazing. Like, it was, like, I felt like it was a happy funeral. Like, obviously people were sad, but I felt like it was really happy. They also had, like, an art show for him. So they had his actual real art, and then also art that people have made in honor of him. And that was really awesome. I felt like the flower bouquets were so great. Like, this, you know, this beautiful.
How were they?
Beautiful flowers in a vase. And then they put, like, brushes all around. Like, the brushes were, like, intertwined with the flowers. And, like, art palettes in there. Like, watercolor palettes were in there. And, like, Mr. Evelyn liked to also use a lot of found objects. Like, toys and stuff. So there'd be just, like, these random, like, lost toys. Because he would basically go dumpster diving and,
yeah,
find, like, lost stuff, or find it on the street, like, anywhere, really. And he'd create his art from that. So, basically, there's, like, just these random toys and stuff, like, in the flowers, too. So I was like, man, this is, like, amazing. This is really, like, a great funeral.
It's like recycling life, in a way, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what people thought was
Trash.
Was trash or not even worth it. He would go and create something and make something beautiful from it.
Yeah, like, all of his stuff was, like, old driftwood and, like, just toys, like, glue gunned on it, but it was done in, like, a good way. It wasn't just like, here's all my trash in a dump. It was like, he made art from other people's trash, which he found was a treasure.
Yeah, trash from treasure.
And so that's, like, I feel like even back growing up, I was, like, putting the realization, like, to my early artwork, like, really related to him, because I used to do my stuff on hubcaps. So at one point, I had, like, over 50 hubcaps in my parents' basement, And, like, I know that, like, having all these supplies, too, like, takes up space. Like, I pretty much had, like, one room in the basement that was just trash. So it's, like, I mean, it's good to have that support. And I feel like now, looking back on it, I'm like, oh, that's probably because I'm Mr. Evelyn. Like, and I used to be, like, a huge pack rat. I've gotten better at being a pack rat, but, like, I think Mr. Evelyn, like, taught me about being a pack rat.
Influenced you in that way?
He, like, influenced a little bit. And I mean, even in my old sketchbooks, I have, like, old bubblegum wrappers and, like, fruit stickers and just stuff all over it. And, I mean, there's some really awesome stuff out there. But I feel like I don't find as much awesome stuff anymore here, like up in Northern Virginia.
Yeah.
But in Richmond, there's a lot of cool stuff you can find on the streets.
I'm guessing anything close to, like, a city, it's easier to find trash because there's people's jobs here just to keep it.
Keep
in
it
this
all
area
clean,
just to keep like it sharp
Disneyland.
And clean, you know. Yeah, like Disneyland. They have people look. There's little trash. There's little trash.
Like little
Wallies
things. Come by.
Yeah, they just clean it up. Taking away the free art, basically.
Yeah, but when I find something like really cool, you know, I keep it. So I think that influence was probably from Mr. Evelyn. And it's amazing though how many people's lives he's touched, and it actually like made me think about being a teacher for a little bit. I don't know if that will ever come to fruition, but. He's pretty inspiring. But also, like, you know, that with My Chemical Romance this week, it really felt like... I didn't go around, like, walking like, oh, I'm the feeling of death.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't like, oh, life is miserable.
Because no one really likes that.
Like,
well, I guess some people do, but maybe, you know, whatever.
A lot of people like it, actually.
They need it.
But I wasn't like, oh, yeah, I'm so emo and death. You know, I wasn't like that, but... It just makes me, like, this week I've been, like, really reflective and just thinking about, like, life, how you only get one life.
And that was one of the motivations of My Chemical Romance, you know, was, like, the death of the grandmother, right?
And that's, also September 11th.
And September 11th, like, from Loss is what the band comes from, is, like, the motivation to get up and do something. You know what I mean? It's just, like, you're not going to live forever. You got to do what you were set out here to do, that you really wanted to do. You know what I mean? And not take the crap anymore.
Yeah, and also, like, it's almost like Gerard assembled this band because he just really wanted to. He felt it, the
yeah.
need that they needed to do this. And it's good to, like, actually create stuff.
It is.
So, I feel like they merged together and just created this huge dynamic that was bigger than they ever thought it would even be.
I mean... One of the true things I really enjoyed about My Chemical Romance, I mean, like, yeah, I wasn't really, like, hugely into them when they first came out, and that's just like everything else. Like, I'm never really, there has to be some sort of emotional attachment or something emotional or something that just connects me with the band instantly. And, you know, like, yeah, like, I'm Not Okay, like, that era, like, I understood, and I was like, yeah, well, that's fun. But I never became, like, massively into them until I actually... One moment, you know, like I always bring it down to this one moment, because there's always that time where people are like, oh man, that band, they're this and that and all these names, whatever they call it. I try not to pay attention to any of it.
It seems
but
like very clicky in bands these
there,
days.
It definitely is, and it's music. Always tough because I you know, I shot like a lot of music videos. I'm around a lot of musicians and working in that aesthetic. I've seen so many just, you know, break up, or I'm seeing so many like forge together, and I'm just, you know, you're still around that, you know, you just get used to that. That's just how they are. That they break up, they come together and stuff like that. But one thing that, like, you know, sometimes they feud, that's just the way of the lifestyle. It is like a marriage. Like, that's, it's tough to be a group and make any decision, let alone create something as a group, you know what I mean? But one moment that, like, really, really sort of like tipped the hat of, like, I think I can get down with this band. Like, and I don't even know if I've ever talked about this before, and I probably have. One of the main motivations was when I was looking up, I don't even know how I got to it, but it was My Chemical Romance versus Marilyn Manson. And that always stuck to me as, like, the moment where I was just like, okay, I back you. You know what I mean? And specifically, it was Marilyn Manson was making fun of Frankie for being like a short midget or something like that. And I think it was also because Marilyn Manson was commenting on Gerard Way doing like the painted like line across their eyes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, sort of as a makeup. Because, yeah, they're very theatrical.
Stage makeup.
And they're, you know, My Chemical Romance is very theatrical. They're very graphic. And I think they choose to be. So, and I felt like it was pretty strong for them to do that, because... If they didn't, what is, you know, You need some. You need that to get out there. And, of course, another very theatrical man in, or woman in Marilyn Manson is his act as well. And I think he made a comment, something about that. Might have been on Much Music or something back in the day, of him saying, like, Frankie was a midget, but then also saying, like, how they, like, ripped off his look with, like, the paint. Like, how do you feel about them ripping off your paint, like, the face makeup? And he was, like, you know, basically just downplaying them, not giving them credit or anything like that, and just talking trash. And then I forget where it was. It might have been on Warped Tour. It was, you know, Gerard Way. And I think it was the whole band doing an interview, and the interviewer asked us, so what do you think about Marilyn Manson's remarks about you? They're pretty harsh. And then Gerard Way goes, like, he said, I don't remember word for word, but he said something in the regards of, like, apparently he doesn't want to admit that we're all fans of Blade Runner. I was just like, dude, he just fucking owned him by, you know, this was back in the day when comics weren't massive, or sci-fi wasn't upfront and massive to me. And he went out in the way, said, like, I'm a fan of Blade Runner, and I don't know why Marilyn Manson doesn't want to admit to it, but you know what? We're fans, and I didn't rip you off. I ripped off Blade Runner. You know what I mean? And that was, to me, that was, like, solely just badass, because I was like, hold on a second. I love Blade Runner. He admit that he was into sci-fi. Marilyn Manson is, you know, you can feel the insecurities around him, but then you saw Gerard Way just be like, I'm out there. This is what I do. This is why I influence. And I've always been about naming and citing your influences. Even on my movie commentaries, if I have a line and I'm commentating, if I have a line from another movie or something in life, I go and say, I got it from this. And he just said that. He said that too. He said, like, listen, apparently, you know, he doesn't want to admit apparently we're both fans of Blade Runner. And I was like, holy shit, that's exactly where it's from, is the, I forgot the name of her character, but whatever, the Daryl Hannah character, where she has the pain around her eyes. Mm-hmm. You know, that's straight up from where it was. So from that moment, I was like, that was the moment where I was like, okay, I can let you into my brain now, because now we connected on that viewpoint.
I think it's funny that it didn't even really happen because of the music, though.
Well, I can...
But then that's even, might be even more... emotional, I guess, if it's from a personal connection.
Well, there has to be, like, for me, there has to be a personal connection. There has to be, because I don't want it, because, you know, I don't want it to be pretty for pretty's sake anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I can't stand, because I shoot a lot of models and do all this stuff, and sometimes it's like, let's just make it pretty, and I'll shoot it, but then half of me is dead, because I'm like, well, we're not telling a story, we're not doing anything, we're just making you pretty.
And speaking
and I'm
of,
not, you know, I'm not winning from this. We're just making you pretty. Are we doing something as a team, or am I just doing a service for you? It's like, well, if we're doing a service for me, pay me more. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Also, like, another cool Gerard quote was, I guess it was in liner notes of one of their albums, talking about how he basically, when he writes a song, constructs a song, he basically, like, cuts his body open.
He puts his guts on the table.
Takes his guts out on the table and, like, lays all of his body, you know, like,
and that was,
you know, and I thought I could connect on that too, because it's like, when you're creating anything, even if it's a song, if it's a piece of art, comic, whatever, anything really,
and that's really
you have to, like, open yourself up, and it, like, sometimes really kills you inside.
And like, when I read that, like, that's another reason why I connected with the group, is seeing, it's like, yeah, I'm not really that big in the process, but, you know, that's the part I understand, is when you create something, the pain that it comes through, because that's why you can't get to that pain if you're making something really shallow that you don't care about. And, like, him saying that, like, how painful, or that saying when you're making something that you care about, that it is going to be painful, that pain comes from that, or the ability to be that honest in anything is actually something that's very painful, because, like, You're putting it out there. You're ripping your guts out to find out what it really means. And sometimes you have to go into places that you gotta dig to find the truth. And I feel like, you know, I see this with even Jack White, where he has to go through and he has to have a struggle. You know what I mean? You gotta get it from somewhere. And him being able to display that and you know, and write it down, and you see it in the music, that's where I connected, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Then, I mean, that to me was another amazing thing. And then also at the same time, another thing that won me over, see, it's weird how it wasn't the music that won me over, but it was the artist that won me over.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, yes, you could go out there, probably already a massive band, right? Massive band, And then they go and they play like the Reading Festival and get bottled. And then like with any other band, they'll just go out there, like 50 Cent would go out there and they would quit. I don't know if anyone remembered that, but when after the Black Parade came out, they went over to the UK, you know, pretty big band already, but they got bottled because probably over there they're already being played out. You know what I mean? They're being played out in the UK. And I was like, man, that's bound to happen. It sucks. It's bound to happen. And of course they can just, any band can just go out and just run away. You know what I mean? But run away and just be like, I'm not playing out there. I don't really care. But the fact that My Chemical Romance stayed on stage and literally fought back to that and like fought back with music and had to win over that crowd again. And then just like, it's amazing to see a band, the crowd, a festival crowd, go from bottling you at the very beginning to at the last song, everyone just clapping and cheering and going with you. Mm-hmm. To me, like that on straight struggle. Yeah, to
live.
Me, live. And I watched that and I was like, holy shit, all right, they're in it to win it. Because there's a lot of bands, there's a lot of artists or anything where people are just in it for that little bit, or that fame or that money or anything. I mean, I'm not going to mention money because you need money, but that struggle.
What about some vampire money?
Whatever. But, you know, a lot of times, you know what I mean? It's like there's another motivation there. But for the fact is, when I saw them perform and have to win over that crowd and fight back, I was like, that was another notch on their belt. I was like, holy shit, I should. It's like now I'm just like, okay, I really. That alone puts you over. You know what I mean? Because like you go out as a heel and they turn face. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I was like, holy shit. And another thing is this. This has nothing to do with anything else. Uh-huh. But another huge notch. And I'm not going to even name any music thing. But when I saw them at a signing. And this is probably the true fact of any person to get on my good side. Is when I saw them on a signing. And I saw Mikey Way wearing a motherfucking CM Punk shirt. And I was like, come on. Come on, Drugway writing comics? Come on. And also not only that, but it was a good fucking comic with the Umbrella Academy. Already at that point, it was just like, I get what's happening. You know what I mean?
And when they promoted the comic, it wasn't like, My Chemical Romance is Gerard Way. I mean, I guess some people already knew who he was.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like they were ripping the band trying to like promote it that way. And yeah. I've seen other celebrities do it like straight up say like Fall Out Boys comic, you know,
yeah, or and that's such bullshit.
Or I do think the art was really good in that actually. But or like
dude, that was wasted.
Or like Billy Martin from Good Charlotte. I see in every press release it's more about like Good Charlotte's Billy Martin.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a big fan of Good Charlotte, so I'm not trying to really get down on them, but I'm just saying that marketing wise they are promoting the band more than the comic.
Yeah.
And I felt with Umbrella Academy they did none of that.
Yeah.
So, and also Gerard Way actually ended up winning an Eisner Award.
Yeah.
So I don't know, I'm just pointing that out. I did notice like that type of marketing though. Another interesting, like, if you want to call it Gerard Way quote.
What about watching Rey Mysterio with Rey Toro?
Oh
at
my
Raw?
Gosh,
that's
we
another
were watching
win for
Raw.
Me.
We were watching Raw wrestling,
ECW.
And like Rey Mysterio's coming down the runway. What do you call it?
The aisle,
and on you know that prime corner spot like TV side is Rey Toro. And
not
then
that,
Ray was
when he won.
Ray and Ray hugged, and I was like, "Oh my God, that's Ray Tor." And then we like paused it. We're like, "That no, we're like that's him. That has to be him. Cannot not be him." But that was cool. That was a cool moment. But I guess what I was getting at was the Gerard Way quote. Like there's a song called "Thank You for the Venom," and I always think that pumps me up whenever someone gets me down. Like, I'm just like, oh, you just, like, hurt me, supposedly. I mean, maybe they did a little bit. Or maybe they tried to. But at least, like, mentally, I'm like, oh, so you tried to get a reaction out of me. And then, like, I'll play that song. Like, and then I'm just like, oh, thanks for the venom. Like, you know, you bit me. Like, the snake bites. But then I'm like, thank you for that. Because that only motivates me more.
Yeah.
Like, it was, like, that type of song. So, like, it's kind of like thanking your enemies for, like, being terrible people. But I think that that's, like, an awesome song that flips it around to a positive.
Yeah.
And I enjoy that song. Like, I think it sometimes gets overlooked, but...
It's a pretty vicious song.
That's, like, seriously probably... I mean, I'm not ranking, but that's one of my favorites because I feel like it just kills you. Is this...
That's it.
This is it.
It's actually it.
This is it.
I didn't even time it.
We did not time this, people. I'm like, this is it.
I think it's it, right?
I think so. Yeah, it is. But I'm like, I gotta listen to this. But
just had to. I don't know why.
I just had to listen. But it basically, like, I don't really feel like I have a lot of enemies or anything.
Yeah.
But there are those times where, like, people attack you, and then you're like, oh, thanks for that, because now I'm empowered.
Yeah.
Because you just, like, motivated me to be freaking awesome.
And that's one of the cool things, because there's a lot of, there's a lot of work or there's a lot of acts out there that, you know, they'll make you just feel depressed, and they let you put you down. But there's something that, like, you know, there's something about this band that it does motivate you just to fight back and to keep on and to bring it back towards them, you know?
Yeah. It's all, are we gonna listen?
I like it. I mean, like, it is a really good, I think that's how the band sort of transcends. It doesn't want to, because whenever I listen to I read an interview with Linkin Park and how they just have lyrics that can be universal and just be like, I love everyone, you know, I don't really want to be about one thing, you know, like stuff like that. And then when I listen to lyrics of like My Chemical Romance, it's personal, but it's also like, let's use this, you know what I mean? So it's not just about like, let's make the hits. It's about like, well, let's do something with these songs. And I remember like listening to while Gerard Way and Mikey Way were on Kevin Smith's Smodcast?
Yeah, it was a Smodcast.
Yeah, on Smodcast, and how like he would just like really be Gerard Way and all of them would just be really hard about the lyrics and what they're trying to do with the songs. You know what I mean? They didn't want it just to be a song just to get out there. They really wanted it to be something that can actually mean something, and that really is tough. I mean, It's tough to be that honest, and there's probably a million people out there that are gonna be like, it's not that hard to make a song, you know what I mean? But they probably didn't do anything. They've never done anything. I don't know. I don't want to be that guy, but I'm gonna go ahead and take that bullet to
be
that guy.
They're gonna be like, 30, what? This album's only 30 minutes long, and it took them two years to make. like I'm like, well, they also poured their heart out.
It is something that's like, it's almost an anti-anthem, but it is something that means something. It means something to people, and I think that's really is the strong point of it. And two, and also I like the fact that it is sort of vicious.
I feel like, honestly though, whenever I listen to My Chemical Romance, I can't listen to them right before I go to bed, because I get like amped up, like it boils my blood.
See, and I feel like this,
you know, like that feeling where you're like, oh my god, I need to do something.
And this is the same thing that, like, you know, everyone knows I'm a massive fan of Red Hot Chili Peppers and Rage Against the Machine, and it has that same effect where, like, whenever I kick in a Rage song, I was like, oh shit, now I gotta. Because it still has, it has that meaning, it has that power behind it, and it really does sort of catapult you. And probably, you know, I'm not gonna say that it does the same for everyone, but it really does for me, and that's why it really means something to me. Because, you know, not everyone's gonna eat the same food, but like the stuff that I intake is really important.
Yeah, and I think we've actually seen My Chemical Romance in concert twice.
We have,
and the first one was the Black Parade tour in Richmond. And luckily, we were actually able to meet every member of the band except for Mikey, because they all came out afterwards on the ramp. And we got our picture taken with all of them. And did Bob come out? Bob didn't come out.
I've never met any drummer of My Chemical Romance.
We saw him walk by in the beginning of the show. He was like checking out the sound or something.
Yeah.
But I never have actually talked to him like up close, like face to face. But he's not a member anymore. But basically, so we met Ray, Frank, and Gerard at that Richmond show, and we got pictures with them.
That was a pretty cool situation, because it was one of those moments where, you know, you want to just hang out at the ramp, possibly where they exit, you know, and stuff like that, and you see all the other bands walk away and see how they act. And then, of course, the security guy is going to be like, all right, guys, everyone go home. They're not coming out. And, you know, none of us, or at least half of us, left. And then, like, we're like, well, we still see a bus down there. Let's go, you know? And then we all started to walk. And then, I forget what happened after that, but, like, then we started standing there. And I think, like, didn't, like, Mikey come out because he saw us there? Just like,
no, Mikey didn't come out.
Not Mikey, but didn't Frankie come out because he saw us there? Frank came out. And then that just, I think he came and you know, started, you know, fraternizing with everyone, but then he set the rest of us.
It was interesting though, because he had like one of the security or manager behind him.
Yeah.
He was like, Frank, wait up. Or Frank, no, no.
Yeah, he was trying to tell him not to come out.
And Frank just kept, he didn't even like look around or say anything. He just kept walking forward.
No, Frank turned around and like, come on, man. He literally was like, come on, I'm going.
Yeah, so he was basically like, I'm going to sign no matter what. And really, there wasn't that many people. There was probably only like 15 people.
But that was
maybe a little bit more.
But that was a pretty cool situation, though, because you saw him fight, being told not to come out to meet us. And then him being like, no, fuck off. I'm going to go do this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think...
Like their management or something was like telling them not to.
I think
they're like, we gotta get going.
I think that really means something too. You know what I mean? And then with that,
and then Ray came.
Yeah. Then all of a sudden.
And then all of a sudden, I could see from down the ramp like the platinum hair of Gerard, or like I guess it was white at that time because he was being like the patient from the cancer, and so he was like walking forward, and like Gerard actually walked right forward, direct to us. So I remember being like, oh my gosh, Gerard's coming. Like, I was like, oh.
As you see his glowing hair.
His glowing hair was coming towards us. I remember at one of the Baltimore Comic Cons, I got James Jean, the artist that actually worked on a lot of the Umbrella Academy.
Yeah.
He did the cover, and he did some of the actual art for the Black Parade album. And he was doing commissions, so I was like, what should I get him to draw? And then I asked him, I was like, can you actually, like, just draw your boss, Gerard Way?
You say your boss?
Yeah. Yeah.
You said just boss?
I said it in a fun way, I hope. But anyway, he was like, well, which version do you want? Do you want, like, the long dark hair or the short platinum white hair?
So and you should have been like, actually, I'm feeling like it's going to be red.
Yeah, he ended up later on having red hair. But I asked for the long... black hair version of Gerard.
You said the long black? I thought you want the short.
Well, short black. I guess short black hair. Yeah, the short
one
black.
Of those.
It was the short black hair. Anyway, there's so many options with his hair. But it's cool because I have a James Jean sketch of like him drawing Gerard Way.
So what do you think about the transformation of My Chemical Romance throughout the years? Because they did go through a lot of changes, and it's like it was to the point of dramatic changes where a fan base can stay or leave. I felt like a need of change. What do you think of that?
Yeah, like each album, they were a different band almost. Like there was the same type of sound overall, but each album was very different.
I felt like there was a modification of sound in each one, actually.
Well, no, I mean, like, I shouldn't say the sound never changed. But you could still tell it was My Chemical Romance.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
They still had their distinctive flavor injected into that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how would you really describe their sound for people who, you know, I know they can hear it now in the background, but...
I mean, it's really, honestly, their sound is not something that everyone is going to like. But I feel like, for me, if I really want to get energized and empowered, I'll be, like, pumped up.
I've always heard them define their sound as, like, violent. Like, our sound is actually pretty violent. And I was like, that's a good description.
Out of everything that I listen to, it's probably the heaviest stuff that I listen to.
But they do have, like, you know, soft moments, too, which is cool.
Yeah.
Which is actually something I think they... It's soft, but also, like, sometimes they have haunting. But,
you know, actually, one of my favorite... if I had to pick, like... I don't really like to, like, rank stuff necessarily, but if I had to pick my favorite, it would probably be Ghost of You. And that song is a slower My Chemical Romance song.
Yeah.
It's actually very slow compared to some of their other ones. And the video is awesome.
What's the video?
Who's the director? He did 500 Days of Summer.
Mark Webb?
Or 50 Days. Is it 500 or 50?
500.
500 Days of Summer. Mark Webb. He also did Spider-Man, which is awesome. Yeah. That video is pretty amazing, and it's set like in the USO tour, and they are actual Army Marine people, and there's a shot that shows the like the USO dance, and then like they're basically saying goodbye to like their girlfriends at the dance.
I remember watching behind the scenes of this, and Gerard being like, man, I really believed it. I cut my hair for this video.
Yeah, his hair's all short, and it's like Elvis. It's like slicked back. Gelled up, and they have like an old-fashioned microphone, but yeah, there's like one specific shot there that goes from the USO dance. It's like a high angle shot of people dancing on a wooden dance floor, and then all of a sudden all of this water rushes in, and then it cuts, like, water on the dance floor rushes in, and it cuts to, like, them storming the beach in Normandy. And, like the actual band is the soldiers.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, this is pretty awesome. And they're, like, fighting battle scene. And then there's, like, cuts, you know, the back to, like, the USO dance. And I don't have any, like, loved ones over there right now. But I guess I don't know. I don't have any connection to soldiers necessarily or anything. Yeah. But at the same time, I felt, like, really connected. And it was, like, a modern-day romantic song that was also very sad. And it's about losing someone. So I really actually like that song a whole lot. Like, it's not like it, their music isn't like happy, happy flowers. You know, well, yeah. It's not like that.
Happy,
but
happy flowers. But if only we can all be happy, happy flowers.
But at the same time, it made me happy. It's kind of like their music can be sad, but it's like a positive sadness.
It's motivational.
And it's motivational, and it also like keeps reminding me. It's like you don't have much time. It's like you better create something.
Yeah.
You know, like I always have this like fear of like. Not necessarily a fear of dying, I guess, but I guess it is. But it's like I'm always like, man, occasionally, once a month, I'll think of like what would be my last tweet, and I just die.
Yeah.
And like I'm like, that's up there. It's some stupid tweet.
Yeah.
Like, what if I tweet something that's really legitimately stupid, which I could sometimes do. But then I'm like, what if I'm known for that? And I just like my last tweet is like jelly beans, blah blah blah. Like, you know, like
jelly beans, blah blah blah.
Like that's what I want to be like known for.
On her grave, on her gravestone.
So I guess
jelly
like
beans, blah blah blah.
It does make
she said.
It does make me feel like every tweet should be awesome or something like that.
Everything you do should be awesome.
But at the same time, that's a really high standard to uphold.
Yeah, but if not you, then someone else will be able to do it. So yeah. Think about that. If not you, then someone else.
Yeah. So basically, it just keeps reminding me of like that type of mindset. Though it's like I better be doing something really awesome that has a payoff.
Yeah. And you were talking about this before, like when you first heard the news that My Chemical Romance like broke up, you even mentioned to say that like they even knew it wasn't gonna be forever. Why? How'd you know that?
I forget exactly when, but maybe about 5 years ago, back when we actually still went to like Borders, like probably on the tail end of like when you go to like Borders or Barnes and Noble and like read the magazines and stuff. We used to do that a lot. And,
yeah.
I remember, like, in one of the magazines, there was some interview with my cam, and
yeah.
They were talking about, like, you know, this isn't going to last forever. It's kind of, you know, we don't know when the band, how long it's going to go for, and we'll always be doing creative projects, but we just don't know. And
yeah.
Then, like, you know, and then when I read that, I was like, yeah, it's, you know, you can't really put a time limit on it. You can't, like, the best thing I could really think about was, like, the Rolling Stones or something, like, I haven't been keeping up with Rolling Stones, but like but that band's been around for forever.
Yeah.
But like, when was their last album?
I don't know.
Like the last, like I was saying, like the last song I remember was like Anybody Seen My Baby, and that was.
I don't
like,
even know that song.
That's a good song, actually. It's a slow song, but it's like, or slow moderate rock, I guess. But like, I have not. Besides that song was probably seriously close to like 15 years ago.
But what you're saying is that like My Chemical Romance knew that they didn't want to be doing this till
when they're like old. Like, yeah. Are they just gonna be like the Black Parade when they're like 80 years old?
Yeah.
You know, like I don't know. Like I don't know what their future plans are, but I feel like it was a healthy announcement. So it's kind of like, I guess the best way I can read this as is like, well, we just gotta enjoy what they created.
Yeah, I mean,
who knows what they're gonna be doing next?
I mean, I feel like at this point too, it's because it's 12 years.
But it still does feel like they could have kept going. But I don't know the inner like thoughts of the band, so I can't say something.
Well, here's what I was.
But they're
believe.
Still young. It's not like they're old, cripply people.
See, that's what I'm always thinking. It's not like, you know, I guess they've had many drummers, but like the core has always to me always been that four at this point.
Yeah.
You know. And it's not like, you know, when John Bonham died, it's like, well, there goes Led Zeppelin because he's a crucial element to that band.
Yeah.
You know, to this whole entire sound. But I feel like with My Chemical Romance, it's like, I feel like after a while, you can stop. You can stop, and then you can still come back. Because, like, 1999 was a tough year for me because Rage Against the Machine broke up. And that was, like, my favorite band. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And 8 years later, they got back together. Can we wait 8 years again? I don't know, but it's sort of like, they're gone, but they're not gone.
You know, I feel like Ray and Frank can still do other stuff in music.
Yeah.
Like I've heard postings about them like recording other stuff. So I feel like they will always be doing music.
Because that's what they do.
But yeah, you know, like Mikey and Gerard. I don't know what, like, maybe they'll do comics or something. I don't know what else, like, I don't know if they'll do another music venture, like, closely right now.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, I think all of them are married.
Are they?
Yeah, all four of them.
So it's almost like at that point.
So it's kind of like maybe they are concentrating on their life.
I'd like to think that that's a good reason to get over with this stuff. You know what I mean?
Because also, like, you gotta think, like, how often do you really want to tour all this stuff? Are you gonna miss, like, your kid walking or talking or going to school? Like, I mean, I don't know what their personal lives are, but at the same time, it's kind of like, oh, we've been on tour for like our whole 20s and 30s.
Imagine just working
part of 20s and part of 30s.
Well, like, imagine working your ass off literally to build and build and build up until like 12 years.
See, but then, like, to me personally, maybe I'm overanalyzing, but then I'm like, well, if they built up all that time to, like, be as a band, it's kind of like, why would they let it go at this point? To me, but then part of me is, like, wondering, like, well, maybe something really, you know...
12 years is a long time.
It is, but maybe something happened. Like, I don't know what it could have been, but if maybe there's something that they're just like, we cannot reconcile this, we just have to end it here.
Yeah. But, you know... That there's always that hope. 8 years, Rage Against the Machine got back together.
Yeah, there's no way you can really tell. It sounds like they could be open to, like, something in the future.
The White Stripes broke up. But they're all...
But it's almost like why... It's almost like this announcement, though, is like, why would you have to announce it? Like, you know...
To make it mean something.
Okay.
I think. That's the best bet, is to make it mean something. And yeah, they can spike sales, and that's just... a beautiful thing at the same time, but it's also just like they owe it to people to say, like, hey, we're actually not going to do this for a while. But it always sucks when they go, like,
here's a hiatus.
Yeah, but that's,
like,
also 2 lame.
Or
even
like
that's lame, because that,
think so?
Yeah, like saying we're going on an indefinite hiatus. It's also sort of just like, well, it's almost making people say, like,
it's like they're together, but they're not.
It's almost like, in a way, it's like a long-distance relationship when you don't know the person's ever coming back. You know what I mean? So it's like leaving people hanging, in a way, but without hope. So just say, okay, it's done, but you know what I mean? Who knows what the future holds? We're all still alive. Who knows where we all end up?
Yeah.
So it could be like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, could be.
It's interesting, too,
that, like, all of my favorite bands have drummer issues.
Drummers are hard to keep, man.
Good Charlotte.
They never get the respect. That's why.
But Good Charlotte's current drummer has been with them for a long time, but it also feels like he's not
probably,
part.
Yeah,
he's not part of the four.
He's just a hired hand.
And, like, even Lit's drummer died.
Yeah.
So, man, those are, like, my top, like, bands, and it's just interesting how it's the drummer connection. And also, in Lit and... the other cool thing about my top three bands, which is Lit, Good Charlotte, and My Chemical Romance.
Yeah.
The interesting thing too is that they all have a brother in them.
That's true.
That's pretty amazing. I don't know why I think it's amazing though, but I do. Like, they all
it's
have
crucial thing.
They all have brothers in it. Like, basically any band that has a brother in it will freaking rock now.
Yeah.
But also I will add that, like, Jane's Addiction is probably, like, in my top two.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not a brother and they don't have drummer problems. Or do they?
They just have bassist
problems.
Rotating bassist.
But, like, well, I feel
there's
like,
always
going to
be
what?
Problems
like,
in a band. I'm
exactly.
Not going to... There's always... Every single...
You know what? I feel
every
like,
band or any group that I've worked with always has a problem.
You know what I feel like with Jane's Addiction is... you know, they did have a new album a year and a half ago or something. And, like, listening to Dave Navarro's Dark Matter podcast, like, it's almost like he's had jokes of, like, people that know him really well, and they're like, man, when's your next album? And he's like, it just came out, dude.
Yeah.
And, like, people aren't paying attention, like...
Especially to these days.
But it's also, like, I don't know if that's, like, marketing problem or that other person's problem for, like, just being ignorant, but, like, I will say the new album didn't make super traction.
Yeah.
But if you were a fan, you knew it came out.
Yeah.
And also, it's like, I feel like Jane's Addiction has a lot of problems that they never address publicly.
But why do they need to do it publicly?
They don't, but like, it's almost, but I hear like Dave's, you know, comments on the show, and it just like makes me think that like they're just holding on to like, hold on.
Yeah.
And it's cool that they are still intact, but it's almost like maybe My Chemical Romance was like, no, we're not going to hold on just to hold on. We're just going to say, this is the deal.
Because we can do other, they can do other stuff.
Like, they're just like, let's let it go.
At least for now.
Well, that's the thing. They never had like any comment like, at least for now or maybe in the future. They said that. They just said, thanks for the memories.
Yeah, thanks for the memories.
Like, it's like a Bob Hope, thanks for the memories.
I mean, I think that's a smart bet because then you let people think too hard about it and all that stuff.
That's true. Because I actually don't want to think too hard about it. I don't need to be like, why? You know, like, I mean, it's, who knows? You can analyze it all you want. You'll never know.
Yeah, just let the memory stand.
Yeah, that's kind of, I guess, how I'm going to, you know,
it's almost
think
making,
about it too.
If they had drama and they had to list it, it's almost like making their drama more important than our own lives' drama.
Mm-hmm.
And you know,
then people are just going to ask more questions.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, "What? What did he say? What that person?"
I hate that person now. Yeah. Fuck them! Don't let him back in the band.
Yeah,
stuff like that. You know.
Yeah, so
you got to keep it professional. You know.
Yeah, that's why I think that their response was actually pretty positive. But you know, it's a sad thing because you always want to have like new music by the bands that you like.
Yeah.
So.
But the stuff that they made can never be unmade. They'll always be there.
Yeah.
And which then is good.
And the second time we saw them was at the 9:30 Club for their album
of Danger Days.
So we saw them like on two different tours.
Yeah.
Two different hairs.
Yeah.
Two different colors of Gerard's hair. Yeah, like, so two different spots. So I think that's a pretty good deal. And then like at that show, it's funny because the only person that came out was Mikey.
Yeah.
That was the one that we were missing.
No, it was Mikey and Frank.
Oh, Frank came out for a little
while. It was you and Frank at the end. Remember that?
Yeah.
It was you and Frank that was the last people in the 930 Club.
That's true.
That's how it was. And you thanked them. You thanked him for making the music. And he's like, oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, there you go, guys. I thought it'd be nice to end with our old classic ending song. So this is Blood by My Chemical Romance. For you guys who wondered where this song came from for all those years. This show is produced by StrayProductions.com. Go check out my work at GoStray.tumblr.com. Also check out One-Shots.com for my newest film, The Return, starring burlesque star Dolly Holiday. Carolyn, what do you got?
You can read my comic strip Curls at Curls-Studio.com. And see us on tour. Again, Asbury Park is March 30th. It'll be so much fun.
That's right.
And also thank you to My Chemical Romance for providing us with some awesome hits. They're the hit makers.
Play the hits, sir.
And we wish you good luck in the future.
See you guys later. See you, Carolyn.
See you, everybody.
Let them know.